I'm Lauren.
I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid. Are you ready? I'm so excited to talk this book.
I remember when we were talking one of the Throne of Glass books and you're like, you are just like giggling, yeah. Like, and that's now it's you. You're like,
I just felt so hard for this book. We both put this so good for so long though. I mean, literally.
Right?
We were talking about this.
What were we thinking?
I know. I don't even know why we did. And like everyone said it was really great. And it wasn't until our episode with Robin Lee, where she said she's one of the narrators on the audiobook, and she told us we should do the audio.
But even then, it took me, months. And I was like literally staring at me across the room from me. I don't know. It just took the show for me to like really kick my butt into gear and be like, I want to watch the show. So I have to read the book first.
Yeah. Yeah. I think same. And I mean, it's okay. Better late than never. Right. I mean, really,
definitely
really perfect time. But now I feel like we both have this equal obsession.
Yeah, we do.
With Daisy Jones. So
it's like our, what's that meme where they're like, this is now my whole personality.
Yeah, literally. That is how I feel. And it's so funny because my mom has not read the book, but I told her, I asked her, I was like, have you watched the show? Because again, and we chatted about this like off, you know, podcast. It like my mom grew up during that time. So she's like, oh my gosh, I used to dress that way. And I used to have that exact jacket and I used to do this. So it was so funny because I said to her, Mom, have you watched Daisy Jones and the Six based on a book? She goes, oh yeah, I'm watching it now. So she didn't read the book, but she was obsessed with the show. She actually texted me last night, the vinyl that I also have, right? Did you get the vinyl?
I didn't get the vinyl yet. No.
Okay. And she's like, it sounds even better on the Lynn, her record player. And she's like, you have to listen to it on vinyl. It's just so funny because I feel like no matter what your age is, you're obsessed with the show.
Right? Because maybe you like lived through it, or like in my case, I was born. I mean, I could almost be Julia's age, than the daughter slash narrator slash author, because I was born in 76.
Okay. Yeah.
So I grew up like listening to this music with my family, but then when I was like coming of age in the 90s, you know, things tend to be on this like 20 to 30 year cycle, right? So like I wore all my mom's 70s clothes in the 90s and listened to all that music, and then now here we are, it's coming around again. So
I love it so much. It's so fun. It's again like where my mom and I will both send each other links like, oh, look at this. This is so Daisy Jones. She's like, I used to have one of those back in the day. And I'm thinking to myself, like, where did it go? And she probably like donated it like how long ago? But I wish she still had it, right? So I could have actual true like vintage at this point. You know what I mean? Clothing from back then. Right.
I mean, what's the line between vintage and antique? I feel like we're like almost.
I feel like a vintage car, you know, when they get the, I don't know how it is in Canada, but if your car is beyond a certain number of years old, you can have this like fancy schmancy vintage license plate. It's cute.
Right.
I feel like it's 20 years.
I think it's 20 for vintage, but I'm just wondering because now we're like from the 70s, we're 50 years. So I'm just wondering like if we're almost.
Are we antiques?
Almost antiques.
Well, anyway, we love it. So
classics. We're classics either way.
Exactly. Exactly. But oh my gosh, how fun.
Go ahead. We're maybe going to say the same thing.
I know.
This is the first time we're like doing this where we're not just talking about the book.
Yes, I was going to say that. We're on the same wavelength. Go ahead.
That's why we do this thing together. Right. We're talking about the book and the show, and well, the book and the audiobook too.
Right.
Because the formats are slightly different. Yeah. So this is kind of a cool, like a compilation or a wrap up of all of those.
Yes. And if you're listening, you've most likely at least, I feel like, read the book, right? Because that's mainly what our podcast is about, books.
Yeah.
However, if you have read the book and have not watched the show, we obviously recommend you watch the show. And we'll go into details as to what we think and about that. And if you only watch the show and are listening just based on that, We highly recommend you read the book. And I personally love, I only did the audiobook, and I'm so glad I did.
I did both, and I'm so glad I did also. Like, I think if I had to pick one or the other, I would definitely pick the audiobook for this one, just because it was such a great, like
listening to a play.
Or maybe one of the best audiobooks I've ever listened to.
Yeah.
And a couple different reasons for that. A, because the book was great. So then, you know, that's going to make the audiobook better. B, the primary narrator who played Julia is Julia Whalen.
Yeah, and you love her.
Julia is Julia. Yeah, I love her as an audiobook narrator. I know, always know if she does it, I'm going to love it.
Yeah.
But then the cast is so fantastic.
So good.
Mm-hmm. It, like you said, it makes it sort of a play, or like, you know, in the olden days, like the days of real antiques where they had like, they'd listen to on the radio before TV, they'd listen on the radio to radio plays. That's sort of what it was like, right? With the full cast and just amazing. So if you had to pick, I love having the book for my shelf, but the audiobook was amazing. And the good thing is, if you are listening and you've only done one of the two, this was a really faithful adaptation when it comes to like the main points. Like there's a lot of differences, which we will get into a little bit later. But overall, you're not going to be spoiled for any like big stuff.
Right. Agreed.
So we can, you know, if you've only listened to one, you're like, listen to this episode, you're fine without having done both.
Exactly. I will say, I don't know if I'm glad I did the audiobook, because part of me wonders if, because it's almost like reading a script, right? With like, you know, Graham
names
and then what he says, Warren. I don't know. That might've been hard for me to get into. So I feel like I'm glad I did the audiobook version where you're getting the different voices, because I feel like it hooks you a lot easier, for me anyway.
So I have heard that from someone else as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's,
I think it's probably just like writing preference. Although then again, I don't know, because I do prefer books that are dual or multiple POVs. So maybe not. But anyway, I have zero regrets about listening to the audiobook. It was really, really phenomenal.
And you know, it's always a tricky thing in an audiobook when you have a dual POV and either only one person narrating it, or even if you have both, but like say it's a romance and there's like a male and a female, which is a lot of the ones I listen to. You know, you're still going to have those times where the female is doing a boy voice or the male is doing a girl voice. And those can make or break it too, depending how they do those. When you have like a big sexy guy voice and it's awesome, but then he's like,
I listened to one recently where I was like, mmm.
It kind of is disappointing. So in that case, there was none of that, right? No one was doing each other's voices.
Exactly. Cool. Oh my goodness. This was just so good. Okay. So how do we want to go through this? Like, do we want to just jump right in? Like, do we want
to, we could break it down a little bit into like the categories, or we can just kind of see what comes up. I mean, let's actually talk about the intro, because I think it is really cool no matter what format you did this book in. So the intro that says author's note.
Oh my gosh, yes. I think this confused several
people. A lot of people, because it's not the author Taylor Jenkins Reid,
right?
It's the author of the oral history,
Julia.
or the biopic. It's Julia. So it's Billy and Camilla's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where she kicks in. So like where you know, the beginning, you get the title page that says Daisy Jones and the Six, and then author's note. So that is not Taylor. That is Julia.
Right.
And so she talks about, you know, an attempt to piece together what happened to this band. I've done interviews, blah, 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 blah. But the very last line is the stickers, right?
Yeah.
The truth often lies unclaimed in the middle. And knowing that, so in the beginning, you don't know that that's Julia.
Right.
Towards the end, you find out that that is Julia. But either way, I think that's so important, because there's multiple ways or multiple layers to that. One is, it's just been a long time, right? So people remember things differently. So in the book, it's been 40-ish years.
Yeah.
On the show, it's been 20, which way easier for them to not have to do like all that aging makeup. But like, imagine 40 years go by, and are you going to remember the same event the same as someone else. Probably not. Right. You're going to remember the bits of it that you held and were more important to you, or the way you interpreted a situation. And then you're giving this interview to this woman who you know her parents, and maybe you are one of her parents, and that's going to influence the way you remember or the way you reiterate certain situations and stuff as well, right?
And also, since you are the daughter of, you know, it potentially can affect how the responses from those you are interviewing come to you, right?
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and yes, that line. Remember that one book that we read one time that it was like, oh, the answer is like usually always in the first page. It's like just so funny because this like holds true. It's so very true. The truth is unclaimed in the middle. So yeah. What I love though is that I feel that gives us, it gave the show the ability to show us a little bit more. Don't you think?
Yes. Yes. And even... Yes. And there's room in the middle, right? Yeah. There's room between what he said, she said, or she said, she should, whatever.
Right.
But also even just in the format, that's different, right? Because the show, so the whole book is interviews. That's the whole thing. There's like one or two tiny sections where Julia like inserts herself, but the whole thing is back and forth interviews. Whereas the show, we have like different formats, right? We have like the sections where each of the former band members or those they worked with are being interviewed. And they even, I love in the post-production how they even changed how that looks, right? So one, some of it looks like a video. Like if you go up close to your screen, it's grainy, but also has those little lines across it. Mm-hmm. And then the stuff that is direct, they also insert this direct footage or like real time kind of stuff. And that's the stuff we don't get at all in the book,
right?
And that has a very grainy filter kind of look to it. And then there's a third format, which is video that like Camilla took. So like it has that Super 8 format with the square, you know, and the, so I really like that as a way of like visually distinguishing, are we getting what we're getting?
Right. Like who?
So, but yeah, I love that they opened that up for themselves to like, you know,
yeah, because
show us things we didn't get in the book.
Exactly. Because I, you know, you leave this just reading the book, you leave it wondering, did anything actually happen between Daisy and Billy? Right. They never commented on that.
There was like an almost kiss and then they said it didn't happen.
Right. And if you think about it, when you find out in the book who the interviewer is, you're like, oh, maybe they don't want to tell her that. You know what I'm saying? Like they might not want to admit exactly how far things went, how far things go, you know, and relive that because it is, I mean, how uncomfortable for Daisy to be talking to their daughter, how uncomfortable for Billy to be talking
to his daughter,
admitting that, you know, something did happen when he was married to her mom. You know, that's just awkward all around. But in the show, we do get that, which I felt like was just like a little like, oh, like almost like, I don't even know how to describe it, but just like I enjoyed getting that little bit of extra, like, okay, yes, I knew that chemistry was real. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I knew something had to have happened because it was just too good, you know? But then I also love how in the show it's Daisy who's like, no, I don't want to be broken. And she's the one who pushes him away. And then she's the one who tells him to go. To Camilla, but that's not how it goes in the book. So
it happens differently. Yeah. I'm trying to find the exact page, but there's one section too where Daisy says to Julia, like you told me you want to hear everything, but like how much of everything do you really want to know?
Yeah. Right.
So I feel like she
says it in the show too. There.
She does, I think. She does. And then there's another section where Billy says something and it's right near the beginning of the book, actually. It's right when they find out that she's pregnant with Julia and he starts freaking out internally because he didn't have a father figure. He's afraid he's not going to be able to perform. They're about to leave on tour. And he says, I wasn't good at lying to her. I'm not sure if that's a good or bad thing. People think lying is all bad, but I don't know. Lying protects people sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like that's not only about that one moment.
Right.
Because he could be lying to protect his daughter.
Right.
at any of the point. All right, and his daughters in the book, daughters, right? So in the show, we only see one. They sort of like decide they're going to have more babies, but then we don't find out if they ever did. In the book, they have a set of twins after Julia. So three daughters.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was interesting that they left that out. But then again, I didn't think that really contributed. It
wasn't really necessary. Yeah, like we don't ever meet them or anything. Right. It just kind of, I think more, it just shows how busy Camilla is like at home raising babies. And then also there's a really good commentary on just, she talks about like, you know, everyone has something that they're good at. Mm-hmm. I was good at motherhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that, you know, so.
I will say Camilla's character in the book, I felt, and now again, I say this, however, the show gives us a little more of things that we can't see in the book, right? I feel that she's a very strong character in the book. Not as, I don't want to say the word insecure, but I guess that may be insecure about their relationship, I guess. Whereas we see more of that in the show, but again, it's,
are they just showing us what the book didn't tell us? She does seem, I totally agree, she seemed a bit more confident in their relationship. There was no indication that she was ever actually going to leave Billy in the book. She was quite confident, in fact, like when she tells Daisy, like, you should leave, she's like, listen, you know, he is never going to leave me. I'm never going to give up on him. And so someone in this situation is going to get hurt. It's going to be you.
Yeah.
And like, I think too much of you to let that happen to you. I think you have so much more potential, blah, 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 blah. And
which is a hard conversation to have. And also
it's a pretty powerful,
very powerful. And that's essentially the conversation that saved Daisy, which we learned.
And she says that, she's like, Camilla saved my life. And also she thought so much of Camilla. Then she's like, you think this of me? Like, how powerful is that someone as great as this person thinks that I am amazing? And she's like a world famous like rock star, like she has adoration from millions, but it means more to her that Camilla thinks good of her. Or Camilla, depending which version. Did that confuse you at all?
It did a little bit.
They did it differently. So it was like Camilla in the show and Camilla in the book.
Audiobook. I do wish we got that conversation between them in the show.
I thought it was really good. And go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think it, because it was such a powerful conversation, I feel like that was one part of the book that, you know, because in the show, Simone is who helps her.
Yeah, it's Simone.
And then we'll get
Simone
into that too.
Thinks about it in the book, but it's Simone that is the one to take her out of that situation.
Yeah, I do find it interesting that the way they changed that, again, not like, it doesn't mean I don't approve of it. I would have loved to see that conversation.
The conversation. Same. Yeah. There's one little bit in the book that I really like about Camilla's character, and it's Karen who says it, but she says, you know, people think of Camilla as following Billy everywhere, taking care of Billy all the time, but it wasn't like that. She was a force to be reckoned with. She got what she wanted almost all the time. She was persuasive and kind of pushy, although you never really realized that you were being pushed, but she was opinionated and knew how to get her way. And she gives some examples of that later.
Yes, like the pancake breakfast.
Yeah.
I did remember that.
Like, that's why I think that she is a super strong character. I think she was like the driving force.
And really, I think held that in the book, really held them together. I mean, I guess in the show too, because she was essentially close with all of them. So, you know, like she was Karen's best friend, really.
Yep. She had close bonds, I would say, with all of them. Yeah. Like it definitely a different kind of relationship with Daisy, but I still think close.
Right.
And in the show, they even have it that she's the one who kind of pushes Billy to let Daisy in the band, right? They have that party at their house. And she like invites Daisy unbeknownst to him. It happens differently. Like all their whole career and how they become a band and managers and physical descriptions and all that kind of stuff is different in the book.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of that matters.
No, I don't think so either. I think it still was just so wonderfully done. Those are all just like little details that, you know.
No, I don't care if Teddy is like a Black American versus a ugly British guy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like,
it doesn't matter to me.
And Taylor, obviously, the author, obviously had a hand in like this whole mm-hmm. thing. So I think mm-hmm. I, you know, she was so active in it that that's where I'm like, yeah, she approved yeah. this, you know,
and we talked so. Before about like, there was an interview that she did and part of it was posted on, cause the book was chosen for Reese's book club. And then her yeah. production company is what made it happen. Right. Hello, Sunshine. Mm-hmm. There was an interview I saw on her Instagram page where Taylor's like, you know, yeah, when I first got to watch the show, yes, there were changes, but it's not important. The important thing is that it gave me the same feeling that yeah. the book did. And I would say that's the same for me. Same. Like I've seen so many adaptations and this might be the best one I've ever seen where like, I can make you a giant list, like, you know, I don't know, 50 things or more that they changed from the book mm-hmm. to the show. But none of them make me.
Yes.
They're all fine with me because it really does give the same emotional feeling overall.
Yes, I agree with you fully. If anything, I think it improved in some way. Like I said, the scenes, the behind the mm-hmm. scenes we get mm-hmm. with Daisy and Billy.
Yeah.
I and wanted just, that in the book, right? Because there's right. so much chemistry there that you're like, not that I condone cheating, but you get what I'm saying. Like it's like
I totally hear
something to happen, and so I think the way it happens in the show is also powerful because again it happens, but then Daisy's the one to be like no. So yeah, mm-hmm. I just really loved it. I also mm-hmm. loved the changes with Simone's character.
Oh, I love getting I love more of her story. More of
that yeah, I mean that yeah. was a complete her relationship. What was the girl's name? Why am I drawing a blank?
Who? Oh, Bernie.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was Bernie. So her relationship with Bernie, I loved that whole thing. And I was talking to my
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, we don't get any of that in
no,
the show.
We don't
oh,
get
sorry,
any
in the
of
book.
That.
Yeah.
Right. In the book. And my mom was saying, she was like, Simone's whole, she's like, that is how those disco clubs were back then. She's like, they did such a phenomenal job portraying that. And so I do love, again, I don't think that that took anything away from the story. I loved that it
no.
added something to the story. I loved Bernie's character. My heart broke.
Yep.
Like at the end with all that, I'm glad it turned out the way it did, right?
Yep.
Especially during that time. It's interesting to kind of yeah. get that insight.
No, it was a great portrayal of like, because she was such a side character in the
right.
book. Like we see a lot of her, but only in context of like her relationship with Daisy. We find yes. out at the very end that she got married, she had a daughter, and she got divorced. And then her daughter becomes like a really popular star as well. Mm-hmm. But we don't know, did she marry a man or a woman? We don't know that. Right. Like we don't, there's none of those details there. So to have her whole character arc and her whole backstory fleshed out is great. And then also to have that sort of different perspective of a queer Black woman.
Yeah.
At that time and what that meant in the context of like music and disco and everything that was happening then. I really loved it. I loved her
that
story.
Whole storyline.
The only thing that I like, you know, I won't say better because the actress mm-hmm. was amazing.
Yeah.
That played her. But of course it's our girl, Robin Lee.
Robin.
that narrated the voice of Simone yeah. in the book. So of course that yeah. was wonderful really as it was good. As well.
I also loved when they brought her up on stage because that didn't happen yeah. in the book either. So I was like, oh, no, what a special yeah. treat. Like, I just loved that. I loved seeing those two best friends, more like sisters, really, because mm-hmm. Daisy just had no one. Her family was so terrible. Mm-hmm. And I loved that moment for them.
Yeah.
Right.
It was like symmetry, okay. right? Because remember at the beginning, Simone brought Daisy up on stage and yeah. that's how Teddy saw her. That played out differently in the book, but like yeah. for the show, I just loved how they like flipped it.
Me
they
too.
Each used the sort of platform and notoriety they had at that time to give a platform to their friend.
Yes.
And also I think you're right, they were more like sisters. They're
I think
like
so.
There was a much more of an age gap in the book because mm-hmm. Simone was like making Daisy go to high school. She's like, you can live with
right.
me if you
yes.
to go to school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas they're more like same age. I think.
Yeah. I just think that was such a special relationship. I was thrilled that she had a stronger role in
yeah.
the show.
There was so, one again, yeah. funny part in the book I liked where it was, you know, after she marries Niccolo. Niccolo, the Italian prince in the book, or Nicky, yeah. the Nicky, yeah. Irish aristocrat right. in the show.
Yeah.
And they were like spiraling out and she had to get back to like rehearse for tour. And it's Simone that like goes and gets her and makes her come home. And Daisy says about Simone, you have to have one person in your life that you know would never do anything to steer you wrong. They may disagree with you. They could even break your heart from time to time. But you have to have one person at least who you know will always tell you the truth. You need one person who, when the shit hits a fan, grabs your stuff, throws it in a suitcase, and gets you away from the Italian prince.
Yeah, I loved that quote. I did. I loved that too.
And good thing she did. I mean, that guy was bad news.
He was real bad news.
Especially in the book. He was way worse in the book, I thought.
He was, but I really hated him in the show too. Like the whole shower scene was so it was funny because when I started watching it, I didn't realize there were more episodes after episode 8. And I remember being like really confused and being like, wait, I don't understand. You know, but
Then
I realized they were releasing them.
Doing 10.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, thank God. Cause it ended like with I'm going to say Sam, cause that's his name, but with Billy crying in the shower. And I was like, what? Wait a second. I was like, no.
What happened?
Yeah. So I was like, that's not how it goes.
That was pretty powerful though. That was a great show change, I thought, to have him involved in that. Like
so
in
too.
The book, it she saves herself essentially. Like she lives through it. And it happens in Italy. So then she like decides the next day, like you just threw me in the shower and left me there. Like you weren't gonna do anything. And so she decides to leave and just tells the band like that chapter of my life is closed. I really liked it was like a family moment, I thought, where Billy was involved in rescuing her.
Yes.
And then when she's fighting with Nikki and trying to tell him to leave, and then he kind of comes at her and all
everyone,
the guys in the band like surge towards him. Like, this is our girl. You are not going to touch her.
Yes.
And then she throws them all off and because they try to comfort her, but then Karen steps forward and she breaks down on her. Oh my gosh. I loved that scene so much.
I loved that scene so much too, because I think it did truly show their relationship as a band, you know, because, you know, as we're getting the narrative and stuff, like obviously it's how many years later and things are kind of not the same. And, you know, we see
muddled
note. It's been how long, right?
Yeah.
And I do feel like, obviously, it's very much Daisy and Billy. So you're not getting like Daisy and Graham as much. Do you know what I'm saying? Or Daisy and what's his name?
Eddie.
Yeah, Eddie.
Pete. The absent Pete. There's no Pete at all in the show.
No Pete. But I feel like that scene in particular shows like, no. Like, I loved it. I loved it. That was a powerful scene.
And such a good flip to that scene when it's in the last performance when Graham and Karen have had it out. Mm-hmm. And Daisy just goes over and sits at the keyboard with Karen and like leans on her.
Yeah.
Because it was Camilla was the one that Karen told, you know, about the baby and that. Well, in the book, I think, she goes in with her in the show.
She goes
too,
in with
right?
her. She brings her there in the show.
Yeah. So there's a tight relationship there. But I liked seeing that Daisy had that, like all three women.
Yes.
Had relationships all the ways.
I loved that too. It was just very like emotional.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Speaking of the relationships of the other guys with Daisy, for example, at the very end, when they're kind of going through where they are now and what they've been doing, and Warren, I love Warren.
I love Warren.
He's such a, he's so much levity.
He had a good part in the show. I'll share after.
Okay. But when there's just one little bit where he says, he's sitting on his boat and he says, you know, I've worked as a session drummer, blah, blah, blah. And then you see him behind Daisy when she's recording solo stuff later, like he's acting as a session drummer for her recording. So I just love that because there it just showed their relationship was ongoing after the end of the six.
I loved him because he was very happy-go-lucky and just very grateful that this was his life. And I love the part where he basically tells Eddie, like, you are complaining because you know what I'm saying. He's like, I'm gonna go and like, what does he say in the show? Something along the lines of like, I'm gonna go
sit on my boat,
movie star girlfriend. Yeah, you know what I mean. He like says all the things, and he's like, yeah, I mean, like tough life you have. You know, you're just
I'm gonna go lie down on $100 bills.
yeah. But I loved it because that's one thing. Eddie, even in the book, Eddie just
is a complainer.
he's a very big complainer, and it's like, okay, I get it, you know, but at the same time, like, think about everything you have. So I just love that, like, Warren said, I wasn't expecting that. And I love that he said everything like I was thinking, you know,
he was so funny.
Yeah. He was one of my,
you know, there's a reader's guide in the back of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like an interview with Taylor Jenkins Reid. And she, right, they ask her, says, you have created an incredibly vivid cast of secondary characters in this book. Which one did you have the most fun writing? Is there anyone in particular you found yourself identifying with the most? So Taylor answers, oh, without a doubt, the most fun character to write was the drummer Warren Rhodes. First of all, he's named after my father-in-law, Warren Reed. And while my father-in-law is a wild character in his own right, I decided to make his namesake a bit more crude and rough around the edges. It was a nice relief from all of the angst of Daisy and Billy to be able to interject with Warren saying something absurd and mildly offensive.
Mm, yep, I love that.
And I thought that Warren, the actor who played him in the show, the voice was the most similar to me of any of the characters. Agreed. Like, it had the same kind of pattern of speech and intonation. Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. And I also liked that I read that it was actually the actor's suggestion to change the character name from Warren Rhodes to Warren Rojas because he wanted to represent his heritage.
Love that. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. He was great. He was phenomenal. I loved his outfits.
Probably
his mustache. I just loved everything about
Probably the healthiest character.
Yes.
On the whole show.
Yes. Probably. Just always happy. Like,
good perspective.
No drama. Like, he was the one there was literally no drama surrounding ever. Yeah. Like,
Mary's a movie star.
Yeah.
And at the end, he's like, no one asks me to sign their tits anymore. Well, except Lisa. She lets me do it every now and then.
Yeah. I loved that though. Yeah. He was just great. So he was like comic relief, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. We needed it. We needed it. There's a lot of deep stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We did. Another flip in the show, speaking of other cast members, is Camilla. Mm-hmm. So in the book, it's hinted that, well, we know she goes and meets up with a high school.
Yes.
Someone.
Like an old beau. A guy that was kind of like the guy that got away.
Yes.
He loved her more than she loved him more than he loved her. Yeah. Is what she says. Yeah.
So then in the show, they flip it and make it so that she messes around with, or it's implied that she
it's implied. Yeah.
With Eddie. And I will say, I was not expecting this scene we get where basically Billy and Eddie fight it out. Oh, my heart broke for Billy in that moment, because I think up until that moment, we knew nothing. There was that one kiss, but that one kiss where she was singing More Fun to Miss. I feel like that kiss was more to get her to sing how he wanted her to sing. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly seemed that way. Although I think
maybe an excuse.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. However, like, he wasn't sleeping with Daisy. So it really did break my heart, that whole scene, because you could just, and bravo to Sam Claflin for his acting there, because like, he truly, truly was crushed. Like, everything.
You could see that.
Yes. He was phenomenal in this entire series. So.
Oh, he was so good. So I mean, good. I fell in love with him watching him as Finnick in The Hunger Games.
Yeah, I forgot he was Finnick. And then it's so funny.
Oh, I loved him in that.
And Finnick is very different from Billy Dunn. They just don't remotely look like the same person.
They're both hot.
Oh, very.
I was actually like, I was like, in my own little secret joke to myself, was that Sam was looking a little hungry in this series, like Hunger Games, because he's like, I swear to God, that man had like 1% body fat.
In Billy or in Hunger
Games? In Billy. Billy,
yeah.
Like, he was so chiseled.
Mm-hmm. He was. I told you, he kind of, his open shirt vibe with the long hair reminded me of the Jim Morrison with the one album of the Doors, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, I
exactly have it in my head.
Yeah. You know, it was everywhere.
The shag, curly shag haircut.
The curly shag, the no shirt. You know, and I was like, oh, okay.
I love that there was like inspiration from a bunch of real artists pulled in, both into like the writing, like, you know, Taylor says freely that like Fleetwood Mac, among others, inspired the book. they definitely pulled that into the show. There's lots of like, watch like that Fleetwood Mac performance, watch them perform The Chain live almost any time. Watch them perform Silver Springs live in what was it, 84, where they're like staring each other, like clearly influenced
even the
show
too.
So and the outfits, exactly. But then there's the other artists as well, like you said, like Jim Morrison. You could pull in a couple of the others who influenced it as well.
I watched an interview, I think, with Denise Wingate. That's the costume designer. I think I got for the show. And she said that Riley, who plays Elvis's granddaughter, who plays Daisy. Can we just touch on that? Elvis's granddaughter.
Yeah, please. Side note. Like how it injects this like amazing touch of realism.
Yeah.
That this could be true.
Right. And also, right? She literally looks just like the book cover.
She looks just like the book cover. They did such a great job. And also, I'm sure, like, we know that Riley and Sam sang for real.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, like, having those, you know, Presley jeans probably didn't.
Oh,
hurt.
Didn't hurt in any
her
way.
Ability.
Exactly. But I guess I watched one interview, I think it might have been on Instagram, where she said Riley was listening to. What's the song by Fleetwood Mac? I don't know if she was listening to it. And I guess like the outfit. So, you know, the outfit that she wears, like the gold one at the very end.
Halston cape. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
it's like a gold cape over a gold halter dress. Yeah.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. So she said that, I guess Stevie Nicks wore something like that singing. What is the song?
Is it the Silver Springs?
I'm Googling right now. I thought it was Gold Dust Woman.
Oh, it might have been Gold Dust Woman. And in fact, they used that song.
Oh, yeah.
I think they used that song in on the soundtrack of the show in episode 8 or 9.
Yeah. So I love that we get so much inspiration. I really think that's what made it. I mean, first off, again, I was born in 86. But I grew up, like just like you said, you grew up listening to all that music. Same. Yep. My parents, I mean, my dad went to Woodstock. My mom was totally in the discos dancing. Like, yes. So my dad was in a band. He had long hair, you know, like the whole thing. My mom was like a little fashion.
I have all my dad's guitars now. My dad played guitar the whole time I was growing up.
Yeah. I feel like that was very much what it was back then. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you have parents that grew up or were in that time, or you kind of were in the tail, whatever it might be, right? Because I was in the 80s, so I didn't grow up during that time. However, I still love that music. It is so, it just holds like a special place in my heart because that's what I remember listening to day in and day out growing up because of my parents.
Same.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah.
I just think
and it's like the time when you're, to me, it connotes that time when I was like young enough that I didn't know how hard the world could be.
I know.
Right? Yes. So it's like, it only conjures, even though the music was created in a time of like real upheaval and so much pain. Yeah. That's not what I associate with it a lot because it's just, it reminds me of being like a child where I felt safe. Yes. I was protected. You know, my parents loved each other.
Yeah.
They would, you know, mom would sing and dad would play the guitar like that. So it brings back, even though some of it is incredibly painful music, it makes me happy.
Yeah. It like evokes emotion. Like for me, I just think of the record player we had, all of the vinyl we had in the bottom of our media cabinet where our TV was. And I remember my mom and dad playing it out, having to switch it over, you know, like all that every single day. And, you know, back then it was like you had the record player, but then you also had that little thing with the knobs, like the equalizer, whatever it was with I just, it just brings me right back to how old I was then. And I still love the music now in my 30s. So it's just, that's where like, for me to be able to call my mom and be like, oh my gosh, I know you would love this show. And she's like already watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, I love that.
And blah, blah, blah. It's just really fun. And I think that's why it just resonates with so many people. And it's just so good. I mean, the soundtrack is freaking phenomenal. I keep telling
Let's talk about that.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed.
So two elements to the soundtrack, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the show, they do use like music of the time. Like I just said, they use Gold Dust Woman. There's, you know, they use, I love that they chose Patti Smith's Dancing Barefoot for the theme song. I have always loved that song. And the lyrics, there's a song in the book that, you know, they changed all the lyrics for the songs they wrote for the show, but the yes. but we do have 10 songs with lyrics in the book, and one of them starts like dancing barefoot, and it's not the same song, but it has that line, so I just felt like it connected so well. So so we have that, and you can actually listen, like, I know I usually use Apple Music, but I know you use Spotify, so it's probably the same. They have each episode listed as a playlist, so you have in that playlist you have all listen to like episode one, and it'll have all the songs by Dunn Brothers or The Six that were in the episode, but also all of the real music that they used on the soundtrack for that episode. So it's really cool.
Oh,
you have that on Spotify too?
Well, I see the complete. That's the only thing, you know,
that might be somebody else's.
It might be
on Spotify. Somebody's created,
you know,
I'll send you the link, or I'll put links in the show notes for sure. Then you can also, of course, just listen to the sound, the songs that were created for the show. Right. And as you've already mentioned, I think the vinyl, like, you can buy the vinyl. So it's like this weird, cool crossover of real, not real, that you can buy the vinyl as if Daisy Jones and the Six was a real band.
Yeah.
And you have the cover artwork, and you have it, like, there's actually inserts.
Yeah. There's like stuff inside. So cool. And I think that's what's confusing. I remember when I started sharing on Instagram, being like, I'm obsessed. So you guys are just going to get all things Daisy Jones here on out. Someone was like, I'm so confused. I Googled and I'm just confused. Like, is this a real band? And I'm
real,
like,
they're not real.
So it's not like it's a fictitious band that they kind of then turned into a real band for the show put out the
and they
album.
Really sing and
really sing and really I love have you, so it's like, you know,
right, like I think the recording, I think they do have some professional musicians in there as well, but they all went to band camp.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
And like,
love it. Yeah.
They one time at band camp they
That's
which
a movie
was
I
like
seen.
Yeah. Yeah, those are rare. I'm surprised. I don't know.
I know.
The best one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But they actually they did their band camp like at or across the street from like a real life studio where Fleetwood Mac recorded.
Oh, cool.
You know, so it's like there's so much realism that they've built in. You know, they. And it was like weeks long. You know how like a Marvel actor will go like for physical training for a long time before they shoot? Well, these guys went to band camp and learned to actually play their instruments.
Yeah.
I just think that's amazing.
It is. I think the Suki, though, is already, right? She does already play piano. Does she not?
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm not sure. But
I think when I looked that up, she is...
She's amazing. Suki Another Waterhouse. Little change. Like, she's not British in the book, but like, I love her. I think she did such
a
great
a performer,
job of Karen.
Though. She has.
Oh, like, actually.
Like, she's. Yeah, she's got.
Oh, you know, that you know. I did not know. She's, I thought you meant like maybe vinyl. A hobby, like play it at home.
No, no. Whatever. She's out now on Sub Pop to Love, Suki Waterhouse. Get the vinyl and stream on your favorite server. Yeah, like, she's
so cool.
Legitimately like an artist. Has. Yeah. Hold on, I'm looking up now. Yep, here's her.
That's funny in a way, not funny, but like of note, that wasn't she previously attached to Bradley Cooper? And then he's kind of the same thing where he, of course, created that, a remake of A Star Is Born.
Yeah, I never saw. I think it is A Star Is Born. No.
Is it called that
the movie?
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah,
okay.
I haven't seen that one. But
Yeah, but he like sang and played for that as well, so it was kind of like an actor / real life musician but who played a musician but is really like kind of a bit of a crossover there, same kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, she tours and everything too, so,
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it is really
she
cool.
Was great. I was a little sad they didn't use, like, in the show she's just Karen Circo
and not Karen Karen.
Is not Karen Karen, because I just think that's a funny little joke.
It is,
and
it is funny,
you know, in the book.
Yeah, I did like that.
Karen Karen.
She really, she did phenomenal. Oh,
she was great. And I thought she was very, very similar to book Karen. The only real difference I thought was her and Graham when they break up. In the book, she's pretty clear all along that she doesn't have real feelings for And again, there could be stuff between the lines, but what we're given is that she just wanted like the physicality of it and not,
she wanted to hook
she
up.
Knew she never wanted a relationship.
Girl has needs.
And in the, and in the show, we get that bit of her, which really hurt my heart at the end when, she tells him that she doesn't love him. And then we get her like current day interview or 20 years later where she's like, I told him what he needed to hear, but it wasn't the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she really did love him, but was like letting him go. Cause she knew, you know, ultimately he really did want a family and she
didn't.
Released him to that.
Yeah. That was emotional. Poor Graham. I loved his character too. He just seemed to be
so
like
sweet.
This silly, cause he's younger. Than
younger.
He just seemed to be like this silly younger brother. You know what I mean? And I just felt for him. Oh, seeing him.
It was kind of nice in the show that they gave him a bit more ownership, I guess, where it was like his idea to start the band.
Yeah.
And him and his friends, whereas not how it was in the book, but it just gave him a little more like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that. Ownership, I guess, is the best word.
Yeah. Oh, so good. And then, so speaking of things that have come from the book or come from the series, I have spent entirely too much money on the Free People
Clothes
Young and the Fitz collection. Some of it's going to go back. I went on a little bit of a spending spree and was like, I want this and I want this and I want this. And I'm waiting for my shirt to come in. Like I actually bought the band tee.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Just like I did for the idea of you. I bought the
Yes. August Moon. Yeah, I know. I was like, I have to get their band tee. Sold out now, I think, but I know people on Etsy, I'm sure will, you know, make others. But then it was funny. I found an account so obviously this was filmed not in 2023. You know what I'm saying? Like it's filmed how many years?
A year or more or whatever. Yeah.
So they actually did use clothing from Free People. And a lot of it is sold out, obviously, because it was during
past collection
time. Yes. But there are some items. Like there's one kimono that is in the show that I ended up getting. And I didn't realize till after the fact. So it is cool because I've always loved Free People. They're
you have
much boho, you know, that kind of a style. And I just thought it was cool that they did use a lot of their stuff. And then they also, again, this is where our good friend Rebecca would probably love all this. They also like source a lot of vintage items. Mm-hmm. So I just imagine, what a fun. And like Billy can really rock the Canadian tuxedo. I say that because you're Canadian.
Why is it called that? As
I
a Canadian.
No idea.
Why is it
I don't know.
That?
You
I don't,
tell me.
We don't walk around like that.
No, we actually need
any
to
more than Americans do. I don't think. Like
I know. I genuinely
and denim on denim is definitely a look like that has been worn throughout the years. But like, I don't think it's any more Canadian than anything else.
Why is it?
So is that is that meant to be like a slam or something against us?
I love how I Google.
I don't know.
Is it okay to wear a Canadian tuxedo? The answer is yes, but only when done properly. I don't
know. Like you have to have like, you know, differing washes of denim to do it right. But I don't know why it's called that.
But okay. So, so our, the resident Canadian we have here says that is not a thing in Canada. Right?
Let's see. I mean, not any more than I would say where you are.
Okay, so wait. Now, again, this is Wikipedia, so take this with a grain of salt.
Right.
Okay, right.
Yes. Please do not use Wikipedia as a primary
as a source. Yeah. It says, the term reportedly originated in 1951 after Bing Crosby was refused entry to a hotel in Vancouver, British Columbia, because he was wearing a denim top and denim bottoms. After learning incident, I don't know, Levi Strauss & Co. designed a tuxedo made entirely of denim for Crosby as a publicity stunt.
Okay, I actually love that story, but doesn't that make it a not Canadian tuxedo?
I know. If Bing Crosby was not Canadian, right? Like, I mean, how funny.
That?
So I guess, you know what, though? I'm looking at
Well, just like Canadian bacon. We don't eat that stuff here.
Why is it called Canadian bacon?
I don't know.
Well,
that's ham.
It's the shape. True. I know. Like, why is it?
I don't know. There is something they eat on the east coast of Canada that we call pea meal bacon, and it's sort of more that shape. It's like ham, but then it's rolled in cornmeal. That's not a, like, I'm on the West Coast. That's not a thing. Like, when I start hearing Canadian bacon, I'm like, what the heck is that? Like, our bacon is your bacon. Same bacon.
Yeah, I literally, I just know it as the shape. I mean, it all tastes good. I love bacon, so I don't care what it's called.
Yeah.
Are you not a bacon fan?
Oh, I love bacon in all forms. But if you come here and order bacon, you're getting the same bacon you get there.
In bacon.
Yes. Yeah.
I know. Do they call anything like American whatever there? Like, do we have any weird, like an American tuxedo? You know what? Like, why is that?
Good question.
It's so silly. Like,
I think not, because probably for a lot of this terminology, American is the default.
Maybe.
You like add the Canadian qualifier.
Makes no sense.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to think about that. I'll come back to you if I think of anything that we call like American. Yeah.
Well, anyway, Billy really rocks the denim on denim. So
he looks good.
He does. Looks
and
fantastic.
You know, Karen makes note of that in the book where she's like, she talks about, she didn't really understand how Billy was like the sex symbol.
Yeah.
She actually thought Graham was sexier all along. Mm-hmm. She goes, but I will say he knows how to rock a pair of jeans.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does. He does. Sam just does a phenomenal job. And so there's actually, so again, if you're not just to show our obsession, I obviously follow Daisy Jones and the Six on Instagram, and they have some really fun outfit reels that they have. Is it there? No, maybe not. Or maybe it's just some of the cast that's sharing them, but there's one reel I love that they do. And it's basically them like jumping from present day into their outfits in the back. And it's just, it's so
fun. I saw some of those. Yeah.
They're just so fun. The clothes, the music, there is like nothing to not like. Wouldn't you say?
Honestly. Yeah. Like even when I like look at like, you know, like I said, the changes, and I can be pretty critical. Like I'm the book was better kind of girl.
Yeah.
You know, always.
Which is fair.
Even when I like the adaptation, like so, let's say, our fave Outlander. I really like that adaptation. However, in almost no circumstances will I say the show was better. Very few things do I think the show did better. I love the adaptation.
Yeah.
But the book is always going to be better for me. In fact, I have a shirt that says the book was better.
The book like
yeah, just like from a bookish shop.
Yeah.
However, I really think this is a case where the adaptation is equal to or greater than the source material. And that is super, super rare for me. And not because that is in no way like trying to minimize the book, because I absolutely love it. But it's only in that, you know, it's about music and you can't hear the music. You can't see the performances.
Exactly.
So seeing that on screen. Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree with you there. And I think that's really what it is. I think a soundtrack always makes everything better too. You know what I mean? And in this case, we literally get them.
It's so good.
Playing. It's so good. It's been on, Aurora's been on, the whole soundtrack has been on repeat. And again, one of my friends is reading it now. I saw her at her baby shower a couple weeks ago. And I was like, listen, she does Audible a lot. She's a nurse. She's in her car. She does home care like I did. Right. So I was like, okay, you have to listen to Daisy Jones and the Six. You're going to love it. And so she just texts me. She goes, I'm halfway through. I freaking love it. And I've already started listening to the soundtrack and I'm obsessed. And I was like,
right?
Oh, no, you just like can't even help it. It's just, you just get so hooked. And so
they are great songs.
I feel like I'm in my Daisy Jones era. That's what I said.
Yeah,
like,
me too. You've already seen, I'm literally wearing Daisy nails now. We already talked about, like you said, you spent so much money on Free People stuff. Yeah. I have pulled out some of the 70s stuff I still had. Some of it doesn't fit me anymore, but accessories and stuff. And then I've added a few new pieces to replace it. Like I feel like I'm entirely in that era.
Yeah. Myself. I saw your stories today. I need those flares. I'm going to buy them. And the top they're is great. So perfect. Now all you need.
Isn't
is
it so, that is from Old Navy, Lauren.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, see, that's what I mean. The style's coming back.
Now, not sponsored.
All you need is a pair of like platform shoes.
Yes, like, it's true. I never like really wore platforms because I'm super tall.
How tall are you?
But 5'11".
You're 5'11"? Oh my gosh. I'm only 5'4". I know we're so tall. So I get it. So platform.
Every time I see you do a try on and you're like, I have size 0, I have size 2. I'm like, whoa, we are going to look crazy in person together.
Oh, I get a lot of people think I'm taller than I am. And I'm like, no, no. Only
proportionately, you look tall because of your, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it. But I know that you're not. Yeah.
I'm average. Yeah. But I could see. So I could see. But yeah, you need like a rocking pair of like clogs or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny. I wore clogs on my first date with my husband.
Really?
It's funny you say that. Yeah.
You still have them?
I don't still have them. I wish I did.
Things, you know,
that's why we should be hoarders.
I know, it's true. Like those Steve. Do you remember when the Steve Madden platforms that like literally
that is what mine were. They were Steve Madden platforms, but they were clogs.
Oh, really?
Yes. The black, right? But they weren't open toe. They were like a closed toe clog.
Okay. That is what mine, the one I had were not. Oh God, they were so hideous. And I saw them for sale again recently. And I was like,
oh, everything comes back.
It does, though.
I keep a lot of stuff, but there's like a few items that I have gotten rid of over the years where I was like, that is never going to come back. And I have been proven wrong.
I know. Time and time again. I know.
And I heard once when I was younger, I heard someone say like a fashion wisdom piece, you know, that like, if you wore it the first time around, you should not wear it when it comes back, i.e. you're too old. I completely disagree.
I disagree as well. I think life's short. Wear whatever the hell you want.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Exactly. If it makes you happy, wear it. I'm so happy that I still have a few pieces that I can still wear that were my mom's from the 70s.
That's so fun.
Like a shirt that she crocheted in the 70s. Like, so I love it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me more excuses to wear it. That's great.
Right. So it was funny with flares coming back. I was like a little hesitant at first.
Yeah.
And then I put them on and I forgot how great they make everyone's butt look. Like they really.
Right? They do.
And I was like, huh. I mean, I like skinnies, but you know, this just feels better.
Yeah. I haven't given away my skinnies. And no, I don't think now, for this discussion,
right.
I won't because who knows
just
what's going to happen
somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm loving I was quite happy to bring flares back into my life.
Yeah. So I was rocking some flares today. And then I had a little blousey sweater on today. And I wore like a pair of booties that have kind of like a Western style to them. And I just posted it on my Instagram and I had several people who also clearly are very obsessed with Daisy Jones. Like we are.
The white ones? The white ones that you wore?
No. It was like a.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I saw those ones in your stories, like two days ago or something. Yeah. I was like, those give me that feeling. Cause they're a little bit like go-go boots almost.
Yes.
Too.
A little bit. But yes, I had several messages after I posted today, like you look very Daisy Jones. You look very Daisy Jones. And I was like, you get me.
That's what I was going for.
It's just so funny to see so many people like also loving it. Like loving it. Whether or not you read the book, do you know what I mean? Because again, and then I think it's fun because I know people who have said they watched the show, really loved it. And they were like, I really do want to read the book now. And so I always say it's a great read. Again, like I did the Audible version because you're getting that full cast. It almost just feels like you're listening to a play almost, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just really cool that we get this and that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what book, what year did this?
People.
We said that we were a bit late on reading it.
When did
it was 2019. So it's not even that old, really. Like she has written others since then. She's like Malibu Rising and Carrie Soto and stuff came after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has that one character that crosses over all so far. Hey.
Mick Riva.
He is a dirty, dirty man.
It's
like
funny
in this book, he's like making out with two teenagers and he's like in his 40s. I was like, ew, you're gross.
And he's the dad. Right? Isn't he the dad in Malibu?
He's the dad in Malibu Rising.
And then
he's one of Evelyn's. Hugo. Yep. Yeah. One of her wives.
Husbands, you mean? Yeah.
Yes.
Seven husbands.
And in this book, Daisy has a party and then he sort of invites himself and takes over the party.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know. He's on whatever number wife and has like five kids.
Yeah. Yes. It's funny because I just picture him as that like part, that rock star that's just like literally everywhere. you know what I mean? Yeah. Just like probably has done everyone and has everything. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you're just like, okay. You
sounds about right.
Keep you over there.
Yeah. But I do love a interconnected set of books by an author.
Too.
So it's funny that I think it's only him. Like, I think he's the only element.
That's all I caught from it.
It's all the only one I know about. If you know about other ones, let us know.
Yeah, that's
yeah. It is kind of fun to see him pop up in just like a paragraph.
Yeah, yeah. I think they only said his name like once. I was like, oh, he's in this book too.
Yeah,
like no, Mick Riva. Oh my goodness. Riva. Let's see what else. Oh my gosh, I feel like we just could talk about this for.
We absolutely could. I mean, there's lots of, like we said, lots of little differences. Like Book Billy doesn't relapse. Show Billy absolutely does.
Absolutely when relapses. Sad to
and it's
that.
More like brought on because he thinks Camilla's left him.
Yes.
Right? And he spirals. Yeah. Very and that's when that gives the opportunity for him to like express his feelings to Daisy. It gives her the opportunity to turn him down.
Yeah.
There's differences like that, but they're, again, it's like you end up in the same place, the same feeling. You know, Eddie, well, I think I mentioned it quickly earlier. So Eddie in the book is not an original member of the band. He is brought on to replace Chuck, who in the show becomes a dentist. Dr. Loving.
I love how at the end, though, he's
which
like,
is hilarious to me.
It's very funny. But I love how at the end he's like, yeah, I mean, after taxes, you guys really can't be making that much. So really, I made out. You know what I mean? And like
they're all like, let's move on. And then he just like hits himself, doesn't he? Like in the interview session. Like, yeah, I made the wrong choice.
Right.
But in the book, he dies in Vietnam, right?
Yes.
And in the show, really. And I, I didn't live through that time, of course, obviously. Okay. But what I know of it gives me, or just sort of centered me in the time they were living in, because that was so early on in the book that Chuck was in the band, and then of all of them, where they were positioned in the draft.
Right.
And then that he died so quickly after going. It just seemed like it was a time where, particularly, I think, for Americans, because of the draft, they were like, live hard because you don't know if tomorrow is coming.
Yeah.
Right? And I think Billy makes reference to it once in the show where it talks about a bunch of his high school friends or the people in half of his high school class was killed in action or something like that. But that really, I think, drives home when you're in war or on the brink of war or something, so huge is happening to your generation, to your culture, you would be living just for today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
and that I think informs sort of what they were living in. There's a great quote in the book. I don't think it's in the show, where Daisy says something like, they're at a party and she was like, it was the time of our lives essentially until before the drugs were killing us and before we knew the sex was coming for us too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, of course, the free love era prior to the AIDS epidemic, which would have been sort of happening or starting just after the time period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and I mean, none of that, where was it where we, was it, I can't remember if it was an author or if we chatted about it or whatever, but like everything is put into a book for a reason. Right. So yes, I think you're absolutely right. And that being in there, I think, is very telling of the time period. And yes, I think that is how I can't say from experience, but I would imagine that is how that's probably how I would live. Right. If you don't know, you don't know. It could be tomorrow, so you're just going to.
On this, in the same sort of vein, when Teddy has a heart attack. And in the show, he lives for a few more years.
Yeah.
In the book, he dies.
He dies, yeah.
And that is a real turning point where I think Billy, especially because he was such a father figure to him, but for all of them.
Shitty father, right.
So shitty.
Oh, that is so hard that they brought that to the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, both of them had shitty parents.
Yeah.
Daisy's too.
Yeah.
Awful, right? Like the very similar book and show. The only difference, I think, in the book, Daisy's not Daisy in the show. She's Margaret. And then reinvents herself as Daisy. In the book, we only know her as Daisy. Yeah. But then she tries to break into her parents' house. And in the book, it's still their house.
Yes.
In the show, they've like even gone a step further and like moved away without telling her.
Yeah, that I was a little confused about when that happened in the show. I was like, whoa, wait, okay. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
That was just,
but yeah, a lot of terrible parents. And so you can see why neither of them at first wants to be a parent.
Yes.
Because they've had awful examples. But I like that. So even Daisy says about herself, you know, I think at one point she's taking care of Julia in a recording session or something. And Graham says, oh, you'd be such a great aunt. And she's like, well, no one says that to someone if they think they'd be a good mother.
Yeah.
But she says, I know that about myself. Like, I would have no business having children. And yet we find out at the very end of the show, she's had a daughter. In the book, she's adopted sons. Mm-hmm. But either way, she has chosen to be a parent. And I think it's like a turning point. You know, when Teddy dies, it changes everything for the band. But also, I think the example that, because Daisy had no good examples of parenthood, but she sees Camilla. Mm-hmm. And I've already talked about how much she admires Camilla and thinks of her. So her seeing her as a parent, I think I like to think that has a something to do with Daisy getting the confidence to be a parent.
I think so too.
Change things for the future. Yeah.
I loved that one scene in the show where Julia and Daisy are like sitting on the picnic blanket and mm-hmm. then Camilla comes over. Can't remember exactly what she said, but
like, haven't you ever wanted this?
No, I don't even know if it was like that. It was the part where
she says that first. She asks if she wants to be a parent, and then Daisy says no.
Daisy says to her, you're great with her. And Camilla's mm-hmm. like, ah, oh, you know, anyone can do it or whatever it might be. And then Daisy goes, no, actually, they can't. You mm-hmm. know, like, I thought that was just very, mm-hmm. she's right.
And talks about her parents yeah. not ever wanting it. Yeah,
exactly. But, yeah. And Camilla, again, she just, and I know in Taylor's reading guide, she says that too, Camilla Dunn forever. She really is. Mm-hmm. We get all these characters and all these stories and everything. And, you know, it feels like there's a lot more than just, like, obviously Camilla is a big part of it, but we don't, mm-hmm. we then obviously don't hear from her because as we learn, she has lupus. She ends yes. up passing away from, I think, like a heart issue with lupus?
Yeah, heart disease complications of lupus.
Right, of lupus. So we don't hear from her for a bit, but I feel like she is the, like, grounding factor with everyone in that band, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And I know the hub that they spin around.
Yes.
And, like, I think Billy thinks that he's sort of, like...
Yeah, and he's... Right, and he's not.
The boss? But he's... But, I think without Camilla, they would have spun out.
I think so, too. And earlier. That's very different. So, in the book... In the show, they don't say. I remember you text me, and you were like, they changed it? Cancer?
But... It really seems like it. I know what you're going to say. So, I'll say first, why I texted you was because I was watching the last episode, and we have that last interview with Camilla, and she, like, adjusts her wig, and she says, I look awful, and Julia's like, you always look beautiful, and, you know, she adjusts her wig. And so, automatically, your brain goes to someone's wearing a wig, they've lost their hair, it's cancer, yeah. right?
Yes.
And they don't ever explain that away in the show. However, now you go.
Yes. So with lupus, you actually can lose your hair. And I say that because mm-hmm. I know someone in my life who did go through that. So,
yes. Which I think is a lesser known.
Yes.
Effect.
I think so too. And I'm not sure, again, I don't know the ins and outs. So please don't, you know, like, again, I just remember at one point in time, this person in my life did experience significant hair loss. And she has lupus and she was having complications with it. So obviously back then, if we're thinking of the, well, I guess, because when is
probably happening in, so the band broke up in the late 70s. It's 20 years after. So 90s. We don't know in the show, in the book, she died in 2012, but the book is happening like, the interviews are 40 years after, not 20 years after, right?
Yeah. Because I think, I mean, just with anything in the medical field, I mean, we're always learning more and all of that. So yeah, I treatment wise, I don't know how that changed from back then to now. But yes, I do think it was a little confusing. I think, and maybe they just left it at that and then you can kind of interpret it as is. Maybe that's what they did. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yes, you can actually lose your hair from that. So mm-hmm. complications of it. So
that was something
I got that. Too. But yes, like I could see how that would be.
My brain automatically went to cancer. And because of my personal history, it destroyed me. And I was like, why did they make that change?
I know. And honestly, I think that's probably what most people, because we all know that as being a side effect from therapy. So yes, I would think most people would assume that. But yeah, I happen to put it together. But again, I think it probably doesn't make a difference what it was.
Yeah. I think that I did like in the book, like Bailey comments about how when she started getting sick and she would have days where she had a lot of pain, you know, that he was able to like, you know, cook the meals and get the kids together. And the way that their life was provided for based on the fact that he had had this successful career, like he was able to be there for her, which I really loved. There was a lot of points in the book where either Billy or Camilla was grateful for the life that that gave them. You know, it's a real contrast to someone like Eddie, who seems like he always wants more, 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 and wasn't happy with what he had. But like, they really seem to, you know, there was even points where Billy tries to quit and Camilla's like, look, if I wanted like a station wagon and like my husband home for dinner time, I would have married someone like my father. You know, like, this is who you are. Go and be who you are.
Talk about a supportive spouse. Like,
amazing.
Yeah.
Again, she's the bedrock.
She is.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do love, so Camilla / Camilla dies in both versions. But regardless of why they chose the timing difference book to show, you know, it was definitely a lot easier for makeup, that sort of thing, to only have the characters have like a 20 year difference. But also with the finale. So for how things end, right? So in the book, again, we're like, we find out Camilla died when she was 63. So Billy's maybe a few years older, right? But still in his 60s. And then we find, you know, she has, there's no video, it's not a video, it's a letter that, or an email even, isn't it? Yeah, it's an email. November 5th, 2012, that Camilla sends to her daughters, Julia, Susanna, and Maria. Only Julia. Julia says Julia Dunn Rodriguez. So we assume she's married. We don't know about the other two. Subject to your dad. Hi, girls. I need your help. After I'm gone, give your dad some time. And then please tell him to call Daisy Jones. Her number is in my date book on the second drawer of my nightstand. Tell your father I said, at the very least, the two of them owe me a song.
I love that.
So same kind of thing in the show, except that that's happening about 20 years sooner. So when we, and in the book, it's just left at that.
Yeah.
We don't know if that ever happened. In the show, we see Billy show up at Daisy's door, right?
Yeah.
And we don't know how old they are, but I would say just by the way they made them look, still in their 40s.
Yeah, probably.
So it just, I mean, it just gives me a little more happiness knowing that they had a longer potential life together afterwards.
Yes. Right.
But I guess that goes both ways. Like in the book, Billy had more happy years with Camilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they would have been getting together in the book if they do call, if he does call her. Yeah. They're in their 60s by then. Right. So they can still have many happy years together, but it's definitely going to look a little differently.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved that. I loved it. Just, again, the show just gives you a little bit more that you want, but there's only so much. Well, not only so much, you know what I mean? There's, the book is written the way the book is written and leaves you wondering. So it's just nice that we kind of got some answers, a little bit, like a little bit more.
Fill in the cracks.
To what we were all wondering, and still leaves us wondering, but like, again, just satisfies you a little bit more. That's what I mean. It's like the book is satisfying, but then the show is just like even more satisfying.
Yeah. So I read it. I watched the show and I watched it over two nights. I binged it. And at the finale episode, I was bawling my eyes out. And my husband was like, good show. And I was like, it's so good. You got to watch it with me.
I know. I tried to get my husband on board. I don't think he's into it, but he also.
Yeah, I know. I've asked him a couple times since then. Like, I've only rewatched. I rewatched the first couple and the last couple episodes. And I think I'll keep going back and like watching my favorite bits over and over again. But I was like, you want to watch it with me? He's like,
I know.
I don't know.
I don't think it's my husband's cup of tea. You know, he's like, no, not really. But it's funny because like he didn't grow up listening to that music. His parents listened to different stuff. So it just goes to show you if it's something that, I mean, I think, I don't know. I don't, just what I know about my in-laws, I don't think they were partying like my mom was and my dad. Let's just put it that way. My in-laws were not at Woodstock. My father-in-law is a retired colonel in the army. So, you know, he was not at Woodstock. He was at war. So, right. You know, different lives there.
However, that's still represented in this book, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. So yes, my husband, I remember we went to a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert one time. It's just like, not
you did?
Oh yeah. It was a freaking blast. Yeah. It was Lynyrd Skynyrd, and I think, who opened? I don't remember if it was the Allman Brothers. I can't even remember, but like, yeah, Lynyrd Skynyrd and someone, and then like Tom, he did not come with me to Tom Petty. I don't think that would like definitely not be his vibe, but he did. I do have pictures that we were dating when we went to Lynyrd Skynyrd, but I remember like, it's not really his, it's just not really his music, you know, like he's more. Like he loves like the Seattle bands, like Nirvana.
That you, yes, we have got to get our husbands together at some point. Like that is 100% the same as my husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yes, like, you know, so anyway, anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think
they're missing out, Lauren.
I know, that's what I said. I'm like, that's on you.
And anybody that's listening to this podcast is not missing out.
No.
One thing we have not talked about at all tonight, and I have to call it out right now before we finish up. The drink that I'm drinking tonight.
Oh, okay. What is it? Is it on theme? I know it is. What are you drinking?
Of course it is. I wouldn't call attention if it wasn't. I'm drinking a whiskey because, I mean, I think you could have any kind of alcoholic or narcotic element and be on theme for this book, so I'm not going that far. But I chose a whiskey because I have this one whiskey called Blackened, and it's actually made by Metallica.
I hope
I don't have that wrong. Oh my gosh, I'll be so embarrassed if I do. I've now had 2 drams since we started recording, so it is possible. But see, this is a Soundwave.
Love it. Label. Yes, that's really cool.
And it's actually the sound wave of the lead singer, Angus, what's his name? Angus something, saying Blackened. That is what
that's
the label
so cool.
is. And what's really cool about it, I listen, I'm such a nerd. You know this about me. I listen
that.
To
it is Metallica. You're right.
Yeah. Good. I won't be shamed around my whiskey friends.
No.
They actually like have, I think even trademarked or in the process of trademarking a process for aging this particular whiskey in which they put it in casks and then put amplifiers around it and let Metallica songs play, especially the bass notes, because what does that do? It like vibrates, right? So it vibrates the alcohol and it makes it like infuse the cask better. And they actually, I listened to a really interesting podcast where they were like, oh, this seems so gimmicky, but then they analyzed it chemically before and after, and it actually made a change in the whiskey.
Really?
Because the vibration, because the vibration made it absorb faster the flavors of the cask compared to whiskey that was just like sitting still.
That, learn about our black noise. Hold on. I think is his name, Dave Pickerel.
I think that might be one of the the whiskey guys.
Black Noise. But let's see. Yeah,
because they have like
collision of age-old whiskey making and modern sound engineering. What a cool concept,
isn't that? It's like if you're like a nerd about this stuff, it's like so fascinating.
That is incredible. I'm gonna have to ask my friend who is in the liquor industry. That's really awesome. Yeah. What is sonic enhancement? It tells you all about it.
Okay. I was totally wrong on the Angus thing. I'm thinking of another band with that. It's Lars Ulrich is the lead singer of Metallica. And apparently even when you buy it, it says like, it says remastered by Dave Pickerel. So I think he's like the master blender or whatever they're called. But there's like different lot numbers. And apparently each band member chose different songs and each lot number is treated like is given that particular song.
That is so neat.
That is played on the alcohol. It's like you can say, I mean, there's definitely an element of gimmickiness to it.
Yeah, but if you love Metallica, who cares? Like, you know what I mean?
And I don't even love, like I like Metallica, but it's not same. Really my style.
But it's just funny,
as a whiskey lover, it's actually really delicious. So for this episode where we're talking about music, I was like, how can I not drink Blackened?
That's so cool. But also so different. Like I would buy it just for the story. Like just knowing that that's how it's made. Like that to me is really cool. So I'd be like, yeah,
again,
I'll buy it.
Not sponsored.
No, not sponsored. Not sponsored. Oh my gosh. Although if you want
Yeah, we're open to that concept, it's just a delicious whiskey and a great story.
Batch playlists. Oh, well, now you're down like a whole rabbit hole.
Well, I'll send you the podcast episode too.
How neat. That's really cool. Huh.
Yeah.
Love it. That is so perfect. I'm also just impressed you know all this about like I just don't know booze like you do.
Well, you
I
know.
Say that in the best way.
In our group that you founded, Lauren, our Obsessed Ex group, it's based around the book Outlander, and whiskey, of course, is like very integral to that series and Scottish history, that kind of thing. And so we decided to do an initiative, two of us that are co-hosts with you, Rebecca and I, we decided to do something called Obsess a Sips, where we created cocktails. And we decided to do another series called Whiskeys, as in the keys to understanding whiskey, and invite whiskey specialists on. So we've had we've done a few different episodes of that so far. We do it as an Instagram live. We run it as a fundraiser. We invite a whiskey expert on to teach us about whiskey, and then we donate to a charity of their choice. Yeah. So we've done a few of those now, and that is how I can definitely attribute some of my whiskey knowledge to those episodes.
Those are really fun. This is so cool though. Like I'm going to share this with so many people. Be like, have you tried this?
Yay.
So,
and it's awesome. Actually good. It's actually good. It's one of our favorite whiskeys. I've rebought that particular whiskey multiple times now.
Oh, that's so cool.
And my husband loves it too.
I feel like that would be a cool gift for someone who likes Metallica. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, or a music lover in general, just to show how music can like the sound can affect the taste.
Yeah. Like who would have thought?
So it actually affects the chemical composition. Like that's pretty amazing.
So interesting. We'll link it in the show notes. If you want to find yourself some. I mean, good news is you can get it in Canada, right?
Which means you can definitely get it in the States.
Exactly. Yeah, it says American.
Widely available.
I was like,
it's
get
not
it
the cheapest whiskey, but it's not like a huge price point. So it's approachable.
Super fun. I just, clearly we're having our Daisy Jones moment and we'll probably have it for quite some time. And there's nothing wrong with that, right?
So. And gosh, I think that's a quote in the book where Warren probably says, you know, there's a reason it's called a moment. You know, like it's a passing phase and enjoy it while you have it.
Yeah. That's why it's so fun. The clothes, the music, the everything, you know, I'm going to rock
love
my
fingers
and my, you know, Daisy Jones looks. Love it. If only
wear
it
my turquoise jewelry and my hoop earrings.
Yes. So, you know, what was funny. Yes. The hoop earrings, like I love hoop earrings. I have hoops in almost all the time. Like when I have them on today, like anytime I'm dressed up and like I have big hoops and I love them. Yeah. Love them. I just feel like they're always so great. And so I was like, oh, I feel very Daisy wearing my
How'd you feel about that scene where her hoop gets ripped out of her ear in the book?
That's what I was just thinking about, speaking of whiskey. So I remember, who was it? Someone was like, I just can't believe the amount of drugs they did back then. But I brought up the point that, yes, however, it was so different back then compared to things now, right? So
like the drugs themselves.
Yeah. And
I think people were more self-medicating then because I think we have a real change in the attitudes and the knowledge around mental health where I think people were self-medicating, whereas now we could be like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And on legal drugs.
Right, exactly. I had someone say, they were like, is this appropriate for my, I can't remember what age she had said, but I was like, you just need to know they're literally snorting coke like in every scene. So I don't know if that's something you want.
Every episode, for
literally
sure.
Yeah. Every episode, like the amount of drugs is, did you ever see the movie Blow with Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So I was like, it's basically like that. Like, it's just constant.
It's like Scarface plus
drug use.
Blow. Well, actually not Scarface, because no violence, but.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like, I don't know if I have my like young kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But oh man, just so good.
So good.
That's why I had to buy it. After listening, you know, I know you're probably the same, even on Kindle. Like if I read a book on Kindle and I just love it so much, I just want to have the hard copy. Like, yeah. I feel like it's like a collection of, I don't know. I was just saying to my friend that.
Yeah. Some people call them your trophies.
Yeah, kind of.
Right. But it's also like every time I look at a book spine on my shelf, they're often art. Right. Like that's my version of art. Like my bookshelves. I have bookshelves in literally every room of our house except the bathroom. And I may have to expand there.
I was going to say, you could probably expand. Yeah. Good bathroom reading. Instead of home scrolling, you know.
But they, every time I see a spine, it reminds me of that book. So like if you're on my shelves, I love you.
Yes.
And I want to be reminded of reading you.
Yeah.
So.
My friend said her TBR, because my daughter had, anytime my kids have like an hour activity, like it doesn't make any sense for me to drive back home. Like I'll just sit in my car. And a lot of times I'll use that as my reading time. Right. So I had a long day today, lots of filming and stuff that had to get done. And my way of decompressing is reading. And so I said that to my husband. I was like, I'm going to sit in my car and finish my books. My friend happened to come up to my car. She's like, oh, what are you reading? And I was telling her it wasn't Daisy Jones. It was actually Love Lettering by Kate Claiborne, which I finished. So, she was like, oh my gosh, my TBR pile is like, she's like, I swear it's just essentially become like a piece of furniture in our bedroom. And I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. She goes, but I don't really mind because it's like, you know, it's going to be good. You'll get to it eventually. And it's like, it doesn't like bother you to look at it because you're just like, ooh, can't wait to dive inside that book, you know? And I was like, I do know exactly what you mean.
It's not like a dirty laundry pile or a laundry to be folded pile in the corner of your room. Yeah. It's like, this is an exciting thing to look at.
Yes.
I get to go into all these stories.
Exactly. So I was like, yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. But I was like, I do think I need to cut down on my pile a little bit. But yeah, I feel the same. My bookshelves, it's like thinking of like all those books that you've read. I feel like Belle, I told her, I was like, I feel like Belle in Beauty and the Beast, like my own little library up there, you know? Yeah. And I'm like,
good thing.
Yeah, yeah. I still need to buy Drive and Reverse by Kate Stewart. Those are two others that I...
You need those trophies?
Yes. Yes, exactly. I need like I just need them hardcover, you know?
So, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. So this is one of them. But anyway, I think that kind of... Oh, we could talk about this for hours, but...
We could. We're... we should probably
wrap it up. You know,
follow up.
We can't play the music on here, but... We will. Link.
I wish we could.
I know.
We will link really it helpful. And definitely go listen to the soundtrack if you haven't already.
Yes.
It's just,
we will
but be warned, it may stick in your head for the entire day.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Right now, I love More Fun to Miss is so good. I mean, they're all so good. Mm-hmm. Love Honeycomb, love Aurora, you know, all of it.
River is my current favorite. Yes. But again, yeah, it shifts.
Yes. Also great. So just, like on repeat, you know.
Yeah,
working out, like all driving all the time. So,
yeah,
you will probably get hooked too. So, yeah,
we're not sorry.
We're not sorry one bit. You're probably gonna see reels with the songs and maybe some Daisy Jones inspo going for. It's really fine. So just hang in there with us as we get through
a
moment.
We'll move on eventually.
Yes, eventually. All right. Well, you guys know where to find us over on Instagram, and we will link everything we chatted about in the show notes. Of course, we would love to hear from you. Our SpeakPipe is also linked there. You can always leave us a message. You can always go and see what books we're kind of working through over on Instagram and just current series we're working through. If you're reading this at the time or listening to this at the time it comes out, we are working through our Throne of Glass series. So you can leave us a message on there. And thank you guys for subscribing and listening. So be sure to follow us along and again, enjoy our Daisy Jones moment over on Instagram.
All right.
All right. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.